Lorraine?
Yes.
Just a remark, because your agenda then is empty, and I have a suggestion, if possible, would be to discuss what we anticipate we can achieve this year.
I'm sorry, it's kind of hard to hear you.
I don't know why. Some people should perhaps close their mic.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I was saying that, I would like at least that we start discussing a kind of work plan for this year. What are we planning to achieve, and what will not be achieved by November 2017 if some activities will be still pending?
Right. I think that's very important.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. And that would be a work plan across all areas, not just, or just the ontology.
Well, I think, so.
It's very obviously conflict with the allocation.
Yeah, I think we kind of need to have a meeting with everyone if we're going to talk about what things other people are working on in terms of the project. But the other thing I wanted to talk about today was just a little update from the Phenom meeting. So I'll put these on the list. I had a couple meetings recently. Did I capture that, Elizabeth? It was a little bit hard to hear what you said. So I said a work plan for year three.
For year three, and if we anticipate that any activities will not be finished by November 2017. So are we looking at 2018? It sounds early to talk about that, but I think it's important for the planning.
Exactly. And I mean, time goes by very quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Barry. Is Barry there?
Barry is on the call, yes.
I'm here.
I'm wondering if you're the person who's Smith. P. Smith.
No.
P. G. Wodehouse.
Oh, no. The reason why I'm called Phi Smith has to do with the fact that when I first started working in Buffalo, they asked us to choose our preferred email address. And if we didn't choose quickly enough, they would default to the first three letters of our department, which was philosophy. Smith. If I'd been very quick, I could have given myself the email address bs@buffalo.edu.
Yeah, but I like the PG Wodehouse one too.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, that would have been another alternative.
Yeah, well, that's what you have, isn't it?
No, I have PHI Smith.
Oh, I thought you were just, yeah, okay.
Okay, so we got that clarified now. It looks like Pankaj is here. Hi, Pankaj.
Hi,
great. So maybe the first thing to do is to address this question from Elizabeth.
Yeah, and I think what we need to do is go back to see what we proposed and where we are in that deliverable, in that sense, and then come back and see what can be done and what is still pending to be done from our side. I think we have heard that would be the best way to go forward, but in the preliminary things that I'm looking at is, I think, it's building some of the community interfaces and community engagement on how to allow them to add new ontology terms and annotations is one. Another one is on plant stress ontology. I think those are the two major ones that we are left. And third one would be is enrichment of PO for the crops for which we do not have an exact one-to-one terminologies in our set. So those are the three major ones which I can think of.
So Pankaj, can I just ask you to clarify that? Enrich the TO for what kind of crops?
Not crops, but the terms that are not exact one-to-one from CO to TO, for example, then that needs to be worked upon.
But not just CO as well. I think, you know, the pharmacologies really need to be more driven by, you know, annotation, and we need to be getting it, pulling in more annotations from multiple streams, like we're doing with GRIN, for example, which will yield more kind of ontology terms, you know.
That's only for TO and probably some PO as well. But on the other hand, I think we haven't even touched PEDO at all, and there are a lot of caveats in PEDO which are probably either I'm still not sure if we should continue using PEDO. We should. But some of the definitions need major revisions, and I don't think anybody in PEDO has the resources to do that.
One, you know, the main people involved in PEDO are kind of like, you know, funded as part of this. You know, I think I do a lot of the edits these days, but and it, George could presumably as well. But really, unless there's tickets in the PEDO tracker, we don't know what it is we need to fix.
So, what
about environment span catch? Surely that's going to be a high priority as well.
Right. So, because for example, if Dennis has to annotate his morphological keys, for example, from his angiosperm leaf shapes and flower shapes and leaf margin types and things like that, I don't think many of the phenotypes associated with those things are not in PEDO. So I think there needs to be a big effort on making sure we have those terms. So it's also a question of we cannot do everything, but we need to be able to set a platform for where we want to engage and go in the next round. So it's not only just completing what we suggested, but also doing some proof of concepts and things where we want to go in the next round. And I believe Lowell is and Austin are going to talk a little bit more from what they learned from Phenome 2017, because that's where the field is moving into, and more of an automated learning, I would say deep learning. Finding new terms, and many terms, as I've been saying, the new phenotypes that are coming along by the high throughput phenotyping, they're not necessarily known entities. It's like a mathematical expression, and I don't think we have a place to, so there needs to be a little bit more discussion on it, how we want to engage with the high throughput phenotyping group.
Can I have a remark on this work plan? In fact, if we want to know what we said we would do in 2017, it's written in our report of 2016, page 16 of the report. You have what do you plan to do during the next reporting period to accomplish the goals. So we have listed more points than the one you put up front. So should we consider that those you put up front are the most... are the priority ones to start with the first trimester, for example, or are we trying to select what we have put in our report?
Yeah, that's one. I think we need to revisit. Lola and I can do that and come back in 2 weeks' time to see where we stand and how much we have accomplished and what exact things that we said we should be catching up on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. So that's a good point, though, Elizabeth. We should review what's in those reports for sure.
Yeah, because I see the deployment of Pheno packets, for example. I see image annotation software in this to continue the development. So we have several items, and I think it would be good to assess their progress and how we see that up to November 2017. And I agree that the high throughput phenotyping is bringing a new range of variables, and we need to address that. I also we will know what has been said in Phenome, but I talked to Jesse Pollan from Kansas University, and he would be ready to could discuss with us how to adapt the ontology we have to the needs of not only the high throughput platform, but also the remote sensors that are creating a lot of data and new ways of describing.
So the field has moved on quite a bit in the last year or so, and there are many, many more players from that side. So I would say where we are heading is farm to fork, not just what's happening in the labs. I've attended a couple of meetings, and hopefully I will be in EBI in April on an industry partnerships.
I will be with you, Ogesh.
Yes, yeah, I heard that. So I saw that. So what we are trying to do is also to work with the industry to see how, what they're trying to do is how to capture the field conditions and growth conditions in their field or hothouses or greenhouses, how it is shipped and conditions managed there, and the processing plants and getting up to the table. And so it's storage and management. So the players need vocabularies and data standards on that side, which is way off from the laboratory side. And all the funding agencies, for example, are looking for what is the major impact of this work on the community, not just in reference to publications and peer-reviewed projects, but how this things is connecting with the other communities. And I think bringing in industry partnerships on that side is more critical and important. How we connect with the food, how to manage the quality, developing some standards on measuring or giving them analytics, how ontologies can enable analytics. Some of it is connected to high throughput, if you can consider that it is all high throughput and real-time analytics, how ontologies can drive it. But
so can we get EO on this list that you're making right now? Let's not forget that, because that sense is
so EO is one. EO is one part. Collection data collection by sensors is another one, and guiding some of the automated processes, things like that. For example, if there is a sensor in the ground measuring soil moisture percentage, then can it alert a farmer about what is the optimal, and if it goes below a threshold, then he's alerted, and then he there's an app, for example, that comes in and he has to water in, or his automated system switches on, kind of things. So not that is one aspect. Another one is, as I said, about farm to fork, is during the process on the shipment, what is the optimal quality that is presented to the consumer, and what conditions are required or have been tracked, which are optimal. So come up with a, what do you call it, as measuring scores on quality, and those scores are much different than what breeders and people in the lab would do. So that's where the field is heading, and how we tap into that—that's our, that's something which we have.
Do you see the new range of new data being part of a new proposal for us, or because we cannot address that within the current proposal? I think it will be stretching too much. But are you planning? Should we plan to start to think about a proposal for? Adapting, okay.
Yes, I think we should start thinking about it, start talking about it, and develop a vision how we want to communicate with that community, so that that becomes the broader impacts of your work. I can tell you is that that field moves much faster than the academic field, and academic measures and scores do not translate into those kinds of things. So I've been in touch with one one startup company called Ripe.io that is managing the tomato quality measures, and we've been talking to them. So as we learn more about it, we will come back to you guys. And so that's where, and I think Barry can vouch. I think he's working with NIST on some of the similar processes from the drugs and pharmaceutical side of it. But I think food is coming up as very quickly up on the ramp from that perspective. And
yeah, and obviously we should reach out to like Matt Lang and people like that for anything.
Right. And USDA, NIFA is also very interested in moving in that direction on. So it's the role is called as how plant cyber infrastructure and standards and analytics can help the broader impacts. I think that's the major goal, education, training, and broader impacts to the economy.
Could any of you who have been in touch with Matt Lang tell me how reliable he is in responding to email?
I think he is reliable. If we engage him in some constructive way, that's my feeling, but I think he has taken on too much. So he might be spreading a little thin, but if we can, we should bring him in, because what I see is that his vision and deliverables are probably on the front end side for the industry, but on the back end side, all the genetics and environment and testing and other things are driven by the basic biology and ontologies that we develop from our end. So I think there is a direct connection from that side.
And Pankaj, I'm not involved with NIST on food. I am involved with potentially some other people on food. And in that connection, I did try and contact Matthew Lang, but he just never responded. But I will try again. But what I am definitely involved with is an NIH grant called MOTORPACK, which is molecular transduction of physical activity, which is about the biochemistry of exercise. And in that connection, I'll be creating an ontology of physical activity, which will include some food relevant dimensions. And so if anyone is interested in that topic, or who knows of other people who are interested in that topic, I would be grateful for any pointers.
Sure.
Matt Langers, I'm just going to send an email to both of you.
Good.
Right, it sounds like maybe you tried to contact him already, but he didn't respond or something. But
yeah,
I tried, but without success. Now, that could have been for any number of reasons.
It's possible. Yeah, because he what he has is a big initiative from UC Davis on creation of the International Food Institute or something like that.
Yeah. No, I talked to him at length at the meeting in Corvallis, and we said we would remain in contact, but...
I think it's spreading thin. I learned at a USDA NIFA meeting is that NIFA, NIFA, is coming out with RFPs to do some RCN kind of projects where we do some community workshops and take inputs. And the goal is to create white papers and... interest groups that go forward with the next round of funding on that side. So it's building standards and analytics, I think. So that would be NIFA's interest, because they connect directly with the agriculture, and agriculture means not just plant agriculture. It includes forestry, fisheries, and all sorts of other stuff too. Cattle, anything that is food.
Yeah. And so, you know, Matt is, he's applying for a kind of like something similar to the phenotype RCN, but kind of like based around exactly some of the topics you're talking about. So I think he's involved, but I'm not sure who else. I haven't really been involved in that process, but I'll reach out to him and Susie.
Yeah, I haven't heard back from him for a long time, but it's a good time to connect that back with him.
So getting back to our year three plan. So currently the grant is ending at the end of November.
Yes. And I don't maybe everybody, all the funded groups should go back and check their budgets and see where you stand by November 30th. You don't have to share information with everybody. You can tell me directly what the numbers would be, and think about it. If there is good enough amount available, I think I will have some unspent on my side because we started a little late. So we might go into, we might have to apply for a no-cost extension for 1 year. It goes year by year. And if the money is left, I have to apply NCE. There is no question about it. And NSF would grant it. But we have to come up with some bullet points at that point is how that money is going to be used for doing certain things or catching up on some of the aspects.
I have an additional point to think about to really make the most of the work that has been achieved is we in the crop ontology, we are adding still crops. We have the Brassicaceae, who are actively developing the threat dictionary on the list. I think we should have sugarcane coming. And the idea is not to, shall we plan to continue the mapping on a more hand-based or shall we look at something that in a way make a kind of automation? I know you don't like to make some automation in the mapping, but I think as a first round, it would be useful if someone published the sugarcane ontology on our site that there are some proposition about mapping to TO that are not handmade.
I think that having
I think
mapping system is great, and then we can go in afterwards and double check it manually.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that helps us, it doesn't mean we necessarily have to only use automated mappings ever, but we shouldn't have to do everything manually. Remind me how your curation tool works. Can we get it such that when people are actually creating the trait dictionary for our new species, we can kind of provide suggestions for them, either direct TO terms or EQs as they go along? Can we kind of like maybe even integrate some of the stuff that we're doing with the kind of like the Inca tools that I demoed last week with what you're doing in the future?
Yeah, I don't know, Marie, what is your feeling, but I think it won't be directly when they create the trait dictionary, but perhaps when they upload it and make it available on our sites, that they can get suggestion about the mappings, or I don't know. But it would be super useful for them.
Yeah.
Because as you said, you need to know threat ontology well, like Marie does now, to be able to propose good mappings. So, Marie, if you want.
And I mean, there are still some items that we didn't really discuss. For instance, there is a lot of population threats, like the canopy temperature or canopy widths. And I mean, even if we have an EQ statement for that, I mean, you won't directly fit into the TO. So this is one issue that I see. And regarding the Inca tools, I don't know if the people that are currently doing the traditionary, if they can really do that or use it. I don't know. I mean, yeah. Probably. It just sometimes, for instance, I reviewed the YAM ontology and they say that, okay, they will measure, I don't know, the weight of the small tuber, the medium tuber, and the big tubers. And for them, I mean, that's three different traits. So we need to also find a way to capture that information that they want to be able to, in their tools that they will bring in the field to be able to say, okay, I will look only at the small tubers. I know that this is not ontologically correct but I mean, that's what they do. And for them, there is a difference when they do that because the different tubers have not the same use or stuff like that. So we also need to have a TO that can accommodate that.
So I think that is where semi-automated option would work, and we need people to be contributing in an open way to make sure that they understand what an ontology is and are able to help us enrich the TO. Right now, I believe in Austin to some extent, and Lowell is doing the major manual introduction, but I think we need some better way of helping these two guys to make sure some easy things should flow in very quickly without a human intervention or with some semi-intervention kind of things and get those things in quickly. There are a lot of bottlenecks on that side. Maybe Dennis's people can be able to chime in on and take on some of the TO aspects, because that is the major connection with all the other ontologies that we are talking about. In that sense, on the
we could think, because if it's a semi-automated system, we could also think about guidelines for the people who are less aware, but could help them. Because I'm thinking about this Elixir Accelerate project that will develop trait dictionaries for tree species. And we don't have any in crop ontology, but they would they will have someone, they hired someone to help with that. They will work with the scientist. So if the person helping developing the trait dictionary could have some guidelines and aside perhaps a semi-automated pipeline and provide already first round of mapping the tree species terms to TO, it would be certainly very nice.
And yeah. is that going to follow the same pattern where there's like one dictionary per species, or maybe it's going to be kind of like lumped up, like kind of like all trees into one dictionary?
At the moment, I think it's one trait dictionary per species, because they want to map their data sets, and it's very different, different species probably. But probably the end would be to have something more consistent. So,
but I mean, we started already to do semi-automatic mappings. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I've been doing is, I mean, most of the mapping for the, I mean, are done automatically based on the EQ statements.
Right. And
just that. So I think we did for the mapping. I think it's okay. But what we didn't touch or only started to do that when I was in Corvallis is how to add terms or how to contribute those terms to TO, if you want to kind of have a one-to-one mapping. So
I see two aspects here. One is how to make sure that the TO is enriched and provides the terms that are required for doing the mapping or making the mapping successful. That's one aspect. And the second aspect is how open are the many of the trade dictionaries and how versions are being managed in an open way so that everybody has access to this and we can collaboratively help them guide, build a better vocabulary and help them do the mappings and teach them. And we have access to those versions where those things are available. My feeling is that, nothing personal, but we have one version on GitHub, but there is always a different other two or three other versions that are floating around in the community that they are working with, and we are not in sync at that point of time. And as part of training and building that kind of a standard among the community is that we should encourage everybody to start their project from the GitHub and continue working, and we mark it when it is ready for release. Even otherwise, if all the tools and PDs are not at the same place, then it becomes awfully difficult for tracking each of those progress and training and making sure we are passing through, we are going through the same standardization process and things. So my suggestion is to encourage everybody, even if it is a very early start, always start from the GitHub and that we have, and we have provided that platform. And that's also one way of saying is that we have reached out to the community, we are working with the community, and that's how we put forward a plan even for the next round of funding. And now it is ready and mature enough that community is starting using it. So it's a buy-in, but it's a good practice to have them start with this project on the Plantium GitHub. It has nothing to do with this is mine or this is theirs. They own their product. That's not a problem.
The thing is, Pankaj, is that for Brassica, for example, they wanted to start their own GitHub to make sure at least the project team are getting aligned all together first before publishing that as an ontology.
That is the problem.
But we cannot say anything on that because this is a project we are not even in. In fact,
we are not in. So that is absolutely fine. But remember, we are trying to use community resources and tools and expect TO to provide certain things. So there are certain compromises. I'm okay with them as long as the ontologies are at one place, then they are always mirrored and on their GitHub as well. That's not our problem. They are the ones who have the editing rights on their files. We don't. We can do it, but they are the managers of their files, not us. So
yeah, they need to discuss as a project team, and then after they could publish it on the Quantum GitHub and then get the mappings. But the thing is, what we are lacking are guidelines about this workflow, because you are talking about best practice, but who knows that if they want to have their project GitHub, then after they need to think about moving it, the result of their discussion, moving it on the Plantium GitHub. So perhaps we need to simply develop a
I think here's my suggestion. I think TDs is much of the work that your group is doing. How the TDs are designed and what are the standards of that. That TD is not an ontology. So the basic principles of the good practices about TD should be coming from the CO group.
We have guidelines. Yes. We have already a draft and one for developing TD, but for the rest, we don't.
Yeah, so I would say that maybe writing down is one aspect, and nobody has time to read those things. So if we can make a 5-minute video of what are the best practices, what are the takeaways from the best practices, that could be a 5-minute video of best practices. The second video would be what an ontology is, a very simple way of describing what an ontology is, and that would promote these things. And the third thing, what I'm saying is that my major concern is that people obviously have the freedom to work on their own ontology and their own projects. But by the time they come to us to say, hey, we have this thing and we're ready, oftentimes it is way too late in the game to go back and correct the things. And that is where the problem starts, because things are not compatible, things are not working, and they are not being followed. But if they're my giveaway, big giveaway from that standards talk would be, or video would be, is start as soon as possible, as soon as you get funded to do this work, work with us right from the beginning and make sure that you are on track. Otherwise, it's a lot of work and time from our side and from their side. I believe many of us will vouch for that.
Well, I think for the Trade Dictionary, we are quite good. In fact, it's a methodology that is being disseminated, even if it's not an ontology-based methodology. It's what works with our scientists. But what I mean, and we have guidelines. They are, for the moment, they are written, because when you develop a Trade Dictionary, you need to have those beside you. It's not just a video. It's really telling you, in the case of such a trait or such a variable, what you have to do, you have to describe it in our template. So it's more a written document. But once you have written guidelines, you have a kind of support for developing your tutorials online, like videos or anything online. So I think it's important first that we all agree what is the best workflow for those groups to develop their own proper trade dictionary, if they start by this, and then move on, helps to mapping to threat ontology. That's what we need to agree all together and put that in under writing or videos as you prefer, but I think it's important to also agree on the stuff.
So here's one proposal. Let's say if we make TDs as our primary source of collecting all the potential crop or clade specific traits, then how it is measured and scored as the principal source. So I know that TD is primarily managed by the CG system, but somebody from Grin or somebody from Uganda or somebody from any other place which is not part of the CG system, they want their terms, they have an option to come directly to the TO and propose it. But since it is a very trait specific or very species clade specific, I think they should be adding to the TO, TD, and then TO, and through an automated method, we would consume what is in the TD. But they always work with the TD, and that is the way to create longevity and consistency in that community, that everybody uses the same TD file for describing their traits, how they are scored, how they are measured, and things like that. So if you want to go that route, I'm totally for it. But at that point, that TD has to be publicly editable by anybody who is a GitHub registered user at that point of time. It's not a project specific TD at that level, I believe.
But the thing I discussed with many project coordinators, and they say that we keep it project specific because we need a level of granularity in the project, that we may need terms or variables that are just measured by 10 persons in our project and won't be in interest for the outside world. So they are, it's also, you know, selecting which granularity when it you want to publish for everybody. So
I agree on that, but here's my proposal, is that if you add a column in your TD saying this particular scoring method was developed for project type and ID or whatever name you call it, this is for this. If you disagree with this measuring system, you create a new measure. Rate remains the same, and the values, scoring remains the same, or scoring may change, but that scoring may be different for your project. So you name it by your project and you continue using it. So because the IDs will be different for that particular scoring mechanism and value mechanism that you would put in the TD. So it is still public and community TD, but the actual measure and score is based for your project. That is one way of doing it. So this is a community standardization. Other, we will continue to have this problem. Who owns this? How we deal with it? But I think it goes more into the thing. But I can assure you that it's going to become, if it's everything is project specific, it becomes very, very problematic.
Yeah, that's why we need several levels. Then when you publish on the Plantium GitHub, you are sure that what you publish is validated and agreeable with a larger community, and what is very project specific can stay inside the project. And also we need to acknowledge that, for example, we have private companies starting to use our format, like Biogema in Toulouse, it's a seed company. And certainly they want to work on their traits on a private start. And after they will map their trait to ours, but they want first to work because it's a private company. There are a certain amount of confidentiality first to start with. So this kind of thing,
if I can add something, and if you want to have those people using the TO as well, I mean, we need to have some tools that they can use, not directly on their trade dictionary or whatever, of the trade dictionary that is private. So, I mean, they will see an interest in that also. So that's crucial to come up with something that can be used for the mapping.
Yeah, and they can use
So I, I have to go at 9 o'clock, unfortunately. So it sounds like we need to list, you know, maybe there's additional kind of like technology that can help us here. I just want to make sure that we get on to our kind of like 1 year plan, as well as the ontologies. There's the kind of tools for like viewing the ontologies and so on, APIs. Yeah, I'd really like to get the kind of Plantium triple store up this year as well. And I think that will allow us to do very powerful things. So I just want to make sure that those are listed as well.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, because we can come back on, it's a matter of prioritizing, so we can come back on this aspect later, but I agree.
Yeah.
I will have to answer by 6, I'm sorry to say. I wanted to hear about
I'm sorry, Elizabeth, I couldn't hear what you said there.
Oh, sorry, it's just that I'm not, I was saying that I will have to leave also probably between 6 and 6.30 on my side, so, yeah. And I would like to hear a short feedback from the Phenom 2017.
Yeah,
so well, I think,
go ahead.
It's a good start. We listed some key activities we would like to see as a priority this year. And then we can probably, go back to the report, check if it fits aligned, and try to decide about a kind of work plan around those activities.
So before we move on, what are the next trait dictionaries that are being worked on right now that are going to be coming in? I think sorghum. Maria already sent me sorghum.
Yam, isn't it?
Yam. Include the one that are already in trait dictionary version 5, but I didn't. I haven't made the mapping yet, but I can't remember exactly which one, but there are a few of them. I mean, I don't know, I followed the timeline of the Quantum project to do the mapping, so.
So what are coming up?
I mean, at least those two, but what is really important is if we want to have some automatic techniques, I mean, that would be good if the TO can be more EQ friendly, so we can store the EQ statement for each crop ontologies also as a result of the...
Right, yeah. So I would say that if we can find out which TO is not compliant on the EQ, we should revisit those set of terms and quickly make sure that it does address your concerns.
And that's not just they are not compliant, also that we have to agree on some patterns, and so the patterns can be applied for a group of terms.
Right.
I already started that with Laurel and Austin and Chris when I was in Provides. So,
yeah,
that's true.
Marie and I have been working on a big set of traits coming in from the genome database for Rosaceae, and didn't quite get into this release, but that's definitely a priority for the next release. Is that
so are you guys documenting all these conversations that you have?
Yes.
I mean, everything is on GitHub, it's just in a different branch.
That's fine.
Yeah. And we kind of got busy with all the meetings and stuff going on in January, so. That's definitely one of my goals for the next month or so, is to get that that set of terms in from the Rosaceae crops.
For the Brassicaceae, we could put it on the list. I don't know when it will be ready.
Okay. And you know, some of the issues that we ran into with the mappings and the automation step was that maybe we need to go back to PADO and sort of make sure that the way that we're dealing with the qualities is aligned with PADO, because then, or maybe we need to help them figure out what they could change in PADO to make it work better. Because there is some incongruities there that I think are causing problems with our design patterns.
We had
a nice demo. Let me just finish my thought here. We had a nice demo from Chris and Dan of this tool that they're developing for modifying the CSV files. But I don't think that that's really, I don't think that that mechanism is really a good way for these outside people to add terms. I'm really kind of disappointed that that term genie hasn't really panned out.
No. As I tried to explain.
It's a good thing.
You saw a demo of the tool. It demonstrates. It demonstrates the principle of how it works. Mm-hmm. Getting something like the equivalent terminal functionality as term genie and better on top of that will be straightforward. But in some ways, it's easier to do the full thing first. So don't worry about the whole term genie situation. That will be, you will have something much better this year that works using the design patterns and so on.
Okay,
so
well, that's good. That would be good. Mm-hmm. Because I think like for the outside users, something like term genie would have been great. Would have been ideal, but it never really
panned. Okay, I've got to head off now.
Thanks, Chris.
All right,
we'll talk some more about it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, but if you are using those tools, I mean the design patterns based tools, we have to agree also that we will. I mean, there will be some change in the definition. For instance, that the genus differential won't be mentioned anymore. Or things like that, or maybe the IDs won't be part of the definition.
Well, I don't know why that matters. I mean, just because we have a design pattern, I don't know. We can discuss these details, but you know, whatever.
It's just a given thread can be classified under different
superclass.
So you cannot really all the time. I mean, there is maybe one main parent for this thread, but in the genus differential, maybe you can use both of them. So you made the choice, and with the reasoning and design pattern, you don't have to make this choice. I mean, that would be classified automatically under the correct parent.
Yeah.
Right. So I would say that, I mean, while we are discussing all these things, I think TO needs a lot of revision and a lot of inputs from the team. So I don't know if Dennis's team is still there or not. They're hard at work on the PO side from the anatomy, but if they can spend some time with Lol and Austin and Mari to make sure that we can invest some part of their efforts on enriching and making sure
that would be great.
That they can work on TO, that would be fantastic.
One of the things that I kind of suggested was, you know, now that we have the new fruit terms in the PO, is we need to transfer that work into expanding a little bit in the TO granularity side.
I would say that hold on to that part, but first make sure that whatever the CO terms don't have a matching exact TO, I think we should spend time on that. So that Mari's mappings improve on that side, and then we go back on improving and bringing in the new fruit related
team. Well, I mean, a lot of that is related, because anything that talks about kernel or grain or, you know, different types of fruit, the granularity is a lot higher in the CO, TO, and I that would address what you're saying there, Pankaj. So
let's say focus only on inflorescence and grain part of the TO for the Dennis's group.
Okay, and I just want to ask a question about, in the past, getting back to this, the year three issue, are we still going to be having this site visit?
No, I have not heard back. I think all the funding agencies are in a kind of a lockdown. There is no communication going out from them.
Oh.
So it's a situation here right now, and I will try to reach out to them. And what the feelers that I got from NSF was that instead of whole initial idea was to evaluate, and based on the reverse site visit, then or not reverse, the actual site visit, they may make a recommendation for year four. Last I heard in last September was from Diane, just plan for a new submission. Don't worry about this thing. So I will reach out to NSF again and see, but I don't think the site visit is going to happen.
So that's not something they're requiring. Okay, good.
No. Yeah. We should be planning by August or September, we should start thinking about what we want to propose in the next round of funding. So that by January, we have a proposal in place to go in. And depending on my workload, we'll see if I want to be the PI, or maybe somebody else takes over, or Dennis takes over as PI ship. But we'll see when that time comes.
Okay. And the other question I had, are we still thinking about having a workshop this fall?
Yes, we should plan on doing it.
We should be starting to thinking about that then, because that's...
If they can come around the Gene Ontology Consortium meeting time, that would be fantastic. If not, a fall.
Okay, well, the Go thing is coming up.
I know, Elizabeth, do you know about the Gene Ontology Consortium meeting?
In your post on the AgBioData blog, but I can't remember the date.
It's June 1 to 5.
Okay, because we have our science week sometime in June as well. So I didn't read exactly the purpose of that meeting. But
Is first 2.5 days is an actual Gene Ontology Consortium meeting, where it's a working group, so there might be a working group on plants. Then followed by a gene annotation jamboree, and then followed by that on day 5 is a pathway curation jamboree. But either side of those 5 days, it's possible that we may be able to if you want to bring in your curators to do the curation or learn about ontologies and TDs and things like that.
So I would just mention that some of us are going to be organizing a protein ontology working group sub-meeting during those 5 days.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so you need a breakout room?
We will definitely need breakout rooms for various times, but it's still completely open when we will need them, I'm afraid.
So I have one is the main hall, and another one is another breakout room. So, but if you need rooms, let me know.
I think it would be, so we're going to need them for at least one full day, and I guess 2 half days. And I will try and work out very quickly when we need them.
Absolutely. Fantastic. And it's a little bit on the side. Barry, I got an email from Kurtz Oliver.
Yeah, Oliver Kurtz.
From FOIS.
Yeah.
Our proposal to them was sent, but it's on hold from their end. And their concern is the U.S. policies that are happening right now.
Oh, I see.
They're not so sure about it. There are some other things in the contract which we will try to address, but they're a little bit shy of making an announcement because of the ongoing U.S.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
But he wants a confirmation that we have a confirmation for 2018 ICBO. Which I believe we have.
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, but I'm only by courtesy involved in that. I can't be officially.
I think everybody
involved.
Agreed to that, but yeah. I'll send an email. Yeah.
Pankaj, this is an open meeting. It's open. I can circulate the information to a large.
Yeah, this gene ontology meeting is open. Anybody can come. Anybody who's interested in ontology, especially for the gene ontology side, if somebody who's from cassava and the other genomes are doing ontology annotations and things, they should come and learn how to do it. And I'm expecting that about 5 to 10 plenty people should come, and we will teach them how to curate the annotations for plant genes and phenotypes. And and curation about the plant pathways. So plenty folks, more than welcome. It's not a closed meeting. It's anybody who uses genotology in their annotations. And but aside from that, we always are open to making all the other side meetings. So if you want to have your developers meeting instead of fall to in the June, that is absolutely fine with me. We have enough time to organize if the people are available.
Okay, I will say goodbye now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Be in touch.
Anything else, guys?
Two things real quick. At some point, I've been working for about 40 years on this inflorescence thing, basically trying to understand them. So I think we're there on those, but I was trying to think about the next project. I like this idea of projects. We did fruits, we do inflorescence, and I'm thinking one of the important things we probably need in the ontology is to go for seeds, the terminology for seeds, that because that, you know, is important in agriculture.
Absolutely.
And general, you know, with invasive species and all that kind of stuff. So I thought maybe seeds would be a good thing to go after and then to illustrate those. I have nice illustrations in my anatomy book on some of the development stuff. So what do you think, Pankaj?
I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Seeds or grains, I would just say, and anything which is of commercial interest to...
That's what I mean, and they're all reproductive. You've got seeds inside fruits, right? We've done fruits, so it makes sense.
So, yeah, seed or grain quality, those are all your characters, right? And then...
Yeah, we'll have a bunch of stuff about integrity.
And something to do with the density or something to do with the quality or measures of an inflorescence as well.
Yeah, I think so. And then, yeah, right. And then with the seeds, right, because we can, yeah, I got it. And there's storage and there's dispersal and there's all kinds of neat things that are
important. Yeah, it means we don't have, for example, we might be making terms like inflorescence growth, determinate and indeterminate. We don't have those kinds of phenotype trait ontology terms so that even anatomists can use it.
Right, exactly. That's the whole idea. Everyone can use the same vocabulary.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think focusing on that part would be fantastic. And
yeah, I'm excited about that.
And I was going to show you something.
It would be great to get some work, do some work with you guys on the TO for these too.
We need to definitely
transfer that information over. I know you guys have been working on the inflorescences, and we'll talk about those next time.
Okay. I'll just show you one just a second. I can have my... Have the desktop. I will show you something. Can I get a desktop sharing?
Yeah, so I paused my sharing.
It's like this series, right?
Yeah.
So just...
I still see your screen.
I know that series. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Share screen. Hey, guys. What's happened here recently is we are working with Sinisa's group on deep learning aspects. That what can we learn about a plant structure by looking at the features that we can detect on it. So Sinisa's graduate student has pulled out about quite a bit of a large data that was available on leaf and flowers from another German site. So he is evaluating the images, but he doesn't know exactly what he should be looking at. So what we are trying to develop an app like this one. Can everybody see the screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you should be able to pull the image in this software. It will be like an app. Right now it's for desktop. Goal is to get it for on your mobile platforms. Like an image, identify where what kind of a leaf is it. Right now, majority we are targeting only on simple, but there might be some compound leaf. So it's basically everything is vascular leaf in this sense. But leaf types, you select simple and compound. The option would be you can, if they know, they can drop down, or the moment you click on this drop down,
pictures,
it opens a pop up. All they have to do is touch that this is a vascular leaf and this is a simple leaf and this is a compound leaf. So that's what they have to touch on it. And then that data gets recorded as an annotation of that image. And so leaf shape would be another one, leaf base and things like that. So the much broader and top level things, we can add a color if you want to kind of things. But I think that he can, his algorithms can identify what color it is. So this might actually help to some extent. So we need in your spare time, as soon as this is available, we can make that data available and if people just do it.
Yeah, and then I think we can, for example, where it says smooth, I don't know if that's a translation from German, but you know, the word that's used is entire. So yeah. I get this. So we can go through there, tweak up some stuff like that too.
Yeah, we pulled out the, we are pulling out the vocabularies, the character vocabulary from a line drawing Blanty book.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're trying to put together, so along with the image, so that it's not just the terms, it's the image, so they will actually be clicking on the image.
Rather. But we want them to match, so.
Yes. So if we can have these basic things, then he can start looking and automating, identifying these features in that picture.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
And it might be easy, man. We can just give it to a high school students and things and just go take picture with your mobile phone and submit.
Yeah, and we work on
things. So we start building a training library.
Okay.
Yeah. So as soon as this is ready, we'll get back to you guys on helping us out on that.
Cool.
Okay.
So great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're past the hour here, so I think maybe we should move on. I just wanted to say really quickly that really had a very interesting time at Phenome meeting. I went to the REST workshop at the beginning, the first day, and learned how to access their data. And I have a list of all the traits from the TerraREF project. So we're looking at those and how, you know, how we can integrate this into the TO and so on. And so...
if you guys can put together a short couple of slides, what kind of traits and how people are measuring it in the next round of our meeting, I think then everybody should be able to understand.
Yeah, that'd be great. I've been kind of catching up on a lot of things since getting back. And one of the nice things is they have pretty extensive notes available, kind of a Google Doc that everybody contributed to. Mm-hmm. So I've been working on filling in my notes into that. And so then I can share that with everybody.
Yep.
And there was quite a bit of interest in the ontologies there. People were pretty interested. George was actually supposed to present, and he didn't make it. And so Carolyn Dill presented his talk. And then Lisa Harper gave a talk about the work that we did with the PPP project, that pilot project. And then my Plantium talk was in a separate section in the modeling group. So we got a lot of different coverage, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can definitely put together a little
short summary would definitely help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Understanding what kind of things they are working on.
Pretty extensive. As you mentioned before, a lot of these traits are computed. You know, they're doing these high spectral scans and then they're taking that data and manipulating it afterwards. And so that's kind of a whole new ball game. In addition to the things that Marie mentioned earlier about the canopy traits and the population and so on. So that's something we might think about maybe integrating the population and community ontology into the Plantiome. So, you know, we don't want to go in and reinvent these things. So that's something we should maybe look at and think about a little bit. I think Ramona would be very open to that.
Yes.
Yeah. And just as a final word, we're just about ready to push the release over to the live site, I'm pretty sure. Justin, are you on the call?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so I think everything is kind of, all the bells and whistles are fixed, and or the bugs are fixed, and we were just working on some details on the stats page yesterday, and then I think it's pretty well ready to go out. So if people have a chance to look it over on Dev, you know, poke at it a bit and see if you can see anything that last minute fixes needed. But I think I've answered most of the issues that came up. So with that, our next meeting will be 2 weeks from now, which will be the 7th of March.
Yeah,
7th of March. Anybody else have any final words you want to throw in before we hang up?
That's on my side.
Okay. It was great to talk to you all. I think this is really useful.
Yep. All right. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Laurel?
Yes?
Where will you put your notes?
Because I've got them on. I'll put them over onto the wiki where they're supposed to be, but we just got it up and working again this morning, it looks like. So I think they're fixing that. Actually, taking notes on the Google Doc is much easier than on the wiki. So I'll fill it in here and then I can transfer it over.
Okay.
Yeah. And if anyone wants to add notes to this Google Doc, I can share the, I can give the share.
Link anyway. Yeah. Hang if on. We have some.
Yeah. You might have some links and so on you want to put in. So I'll leave this, I don't want to put it on Skype. I want to put it on let me put it in the chat here. That's the sharing link to the Google Doc if you want to add anything.
Thank you.
So, and I won't move the notes over for a day or so.
Laurel, it's on view only.
Oh, what's that? Oh, it's on view only. Okay, let me change that. I can fix it. I don't need to do this. I'll change it. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Yeah, it's fixed now. Okay.